Wake up, America!
Wake up, America. It's time for Michael Dean After Dark. I'm your host, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and this is the Late Night Feisty Liberty Show. We have a rotating stable of interesting insomniac co-hosts. Plus, we leave the phone lines open. So if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in.
That's right. Hold your kitties and love them, because there's weather in Wyoming. I don't know. It's not really cold. It's not really warm. Hi, Nikki. Are you holding your puppies tight?
No, he's like 100 pounds.
I love the pictures you send me of you doing your show with your dogs. They're just like, I don't care. I'm a dog. I don't care that you're on the radio. I'm a dog. Leave me alone.
But whenever I go out, I always leave on radio for them. So they'll be able to speak English soon, hopefully.
Do you leave talk radio on?
Yes.
Maybe they'll turn into Republicans.
What we got to do is get the right men in there and get back to the Republic.
Yeah. So we got interesting good news. The first good news I'm going to start with is Ben Stone, the bad Quaker, sent me this today. Friends, I have returned from an appointment with my cardiologist. Here's a quick update. As many of you know, in January, I suffered heart failure with my heart function listed in the single digits. After some 30 hours of treatment in the hospital, my heart was up to 10% function. The question at the time was if they would do immediate open heart surgery, or if it could be put off until I regained some strength. Today I underwent testing, and my cardiologist was beside himself. He said my heart is back to full function. It shows no damage and no signs of weakness or any other negative effects. Three times he mentioned that, as if he was looking at a different person. Somehow this heretic Rasputin lives. Clearly a larger dose will be needed next time. I think he's saying of whatever they tried to kill me with. Thanks to everyone for their support during this time. Even though I've BCC'd each of you, the content of this email is not private information. You can share it as you like. Thanks again, Ben Stone.
Nice. That's good to hear.
It's great to hear.
Yeah. So he will be at Porkfest, which is great.
Yep. I liked what he said, too, about even though I BCC'd you, you can share this. First of all, it's like sometimes people send you news like that and you don't know if it's private or public. And it's very thoughtful of him to put that. And it's extremely thoughtful of him to BCC it. I really hate when, you know, 40 people are CC'd on an email, because it invariably leads to spam.
Yeah, that's true.
Or like four people hitting reply all and saying, great news, Ben. And then like one person hitting reply all and saying, please BCC. And then the guy who wrote it writing back everybody and saying, you shouldn't CC everyone when telling me not to BC. You know, it just
turns
into,
it gets
like,
confusing.
Yeah. Who needs that? Another pet peeve of mine, you know, like let's switch from my best friend is not only not dying, but getting better and healthy, to a pet peeve of mine, which is when people don't change their SIG line on an email, like when you're writing back and forth as if it's instant messenger and, you know, you're like 4 days removed from the original topic. I tend to just start changing the subject line.
Oh, I do that, don't I?
Maybe.
I totally do that.
You don't do it to the point where I've noticed it and put you on the golden, the blackened floppy disk of unredemption.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yep. So let's see. That's one thing. And then what else? Let's see. Freedom Fiends changed. Did you hear yesterday's episode?
I did, yeah. It's sad that Nima is leaving, but I guess it's good because he needs to spend time with his family, and hopefully he'll pop in every once in a while.
Yeah, and it's a very, you know, it's kind of like my hetero life partner left me, you know. Other than my wife, Nima's kind of like the guy I've been talking to every day for 4 years and working on stuff with, and it was really sad for me. But
yeah, and then you mentioned how you paid him out.
Yeah.
It was so sad.
What, did that sound mercenary or something?
No, but it was just like so final. It's like, and here's all your money too, and it's like, woo, he's gone.
That's kind of the way I do things, and you know, some people don't do things that way. Well, first of all, I'm exceedingly honest and pay people everything they're owed, and then usually and then some. Like, mm-hmm. You know, like the Meowbit thing, I'm losing money on that. You know, we got a bunch of donations, and I pretty much gave everything to Derek, even though he's like, no, man, half is fine. A third is fine. And I'm like, no, I'll just keep you happy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, other than just being scrupulously honest with money and debts, I really hate owing people anything. You know, yep. I hate, like, to the point where I'll go out of my way to, like, send someone, you know, the $2.85 I owe them. Because I want to be able to cross it off my list. You know, ever since I was about 18, I've gotten those really big blotter type wall calendars that don't have any pictures on them. They just have like a big 2-inch space or 3-inch space almost for each day.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally X them out when the day's over. And some people look at that as kind of fatalistic. I look at it as like, yes, I've finished another day with aplomb. I've done great. I've given a good day, you know? And it also just helps me be able to know what day it is, because I don't have a day job that I have to be anywhere other than here. So,
yeah.
So, I kind of like to have my accounts as balanced as possible at the end of each day, I guess is what it is. But also with Nima, I'm not saying I'd never have him back as a guest, but it's not open-ended. And he understood that and suggested that. You know, he didn't say, oh, well, you know, maybe in 6 months I'll be able. It's like, I mean, I'm having to do so much work to make it The Fiends without Nima. It's like, I don't want him to just be able to pop in and out and say, okay, it suits me now. You know, I kind of need people that are either people that are committed to it or just so many people available that there's always somebody. Because it's like, I mean, you got to think about this. We're on 25 stations. Every single one of them I've done promos and liners for. I've spent most of today making new liners, you know, like instead of saying with Nima Vedati and Michael Dean, it says, you know, with Michael Dean and friends, like I had to redo all of those and contact all those stations and write them personally and explain what's up. And it's a lot of work, man.
Yeah, you do work very hard.
I guess what I'm saying is I like consistency, you know, and The Fiends was me, Nima and I for 3 years. And then for the last 6 months of that, it wasn't really consistently he and I. It was him whenever he could make it, you know, and then me scrambling to find people. So I'm going to do with The Fiends is what I'm doing with Michael Dean After Dark, which is I'm going to schedule people months in advance.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
It's a lot easier that way. And there's enough people who want to do it that we can do it that way. And the other thing is, I can say this now. I've been hinting at it on Michael Dean After Dark for a week. But this show is going to turn into The Freedom Fiends. So The Freedom Fiends is going to be 7 days a week. But that's going to take about 3 or 4 weeks before it happens. It's not as with network radio and satellite listings and things, it's not as easy as just changing a website.
Yeah, but I mean, the nighttime show is not going to be on the radio, right? Or on all those 25 stations.
No, but okay. It'll be easier to get it on stations if it's a 7-day-a-week show. That's a lot more attractive to stations. Although what's really attractive to stations is if it's striped across the week, like it's the same time all 7 days.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. It doesn't suit me.
Yeah.
I don't want to get up every day to an alarm for the rest of my life.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Yeah, it's like, at least if I'm not going to make any money for a long time, probably, I want to do it on my own time. You know, you do something as a hobby that's done as well as a job because you enjoy doing it, not because you want to, you don't have a day job because you don't want to get up to alarms. Why make your hobby into a day job with alarms?
Yeah, you set the schedule. You're the boss.
Mm-hmm. You're your own boss, aren't you, Nikki?
I am.
Tell me about it.
Well, I'm a photographer and a jewelry designer and maker, and I am barely scratching by because I live in an area that is the second highest in rent in the country. Wow. Next to Hawaii, which is number one. So,
do you ever think about moving?
Yeah. but I'm still trying to figure out where I want to go.
Didn't you and your boyfriend think about New Hampshire and Wyoming?
Yeah, and maybe Colorado or Utah, Arizona.
We could discuss the pros and cons of those states if you want.
Yeah, well, didn't we already talk about this like on the first time I was on?
Not at length. I'm actually not really itching to go through the litany of the pros and cons of all those states, but they all have their pros and cons.
I just need scenery and a little more freedom and better housing prices.
Yeah, well, the place that you were looking at, I think you were thinking about somewhere near Laramie in Wyoming. That's not a place for scenery.
Oh, no. He likes Jackson Hole.
That's very expensive.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's like this little island of, it's a ski resort. I mean, it's a ski resort. It's like where people who are so rich that money is, it's not just rich people. I mean, like, you know, rich people go to any ski resort. They go to Vail or something. But people who like live in Jackson Hole, that's where people who money is no object live. I mean, Dick Cheney lives in Jackson Hole. You know, a lot of movie stars have ranches around Jackson Hole. It's exceedingly expensive, and it's really nanny, especially since it's in Wyoming. Like, literally, you cannot smoke a cigarette on the street in Jackson Hole. It's against the law.
Okay, so it's kind of been taken over by the hipster liberals?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of rich people from Northern and Southern California who have, you know, a timeshare or a small hobby ranch in or around Jackson, you know, and they think, oh yes, we're cowboys, and they come out there and they don't live like cowboys. They come out and wear a cowboy hat and get involved. You know, they live here like 4 months a year, and they get on the city council or they vote, and they you know, they try to ban guns and cigarettes and cows. All right. We'll be back with more on Freedom Fiends After Dark with Nikki Darling and Michael Dean. Worms.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. This is what radio sounds like now.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Michael Dean After Dark, soon to be Freedom Fiends After Dark, and you can call in if you want, if you have stuff to say. It's 1-855-660-4261. That's 1-855-660-4261, or Skype to username kittyfeet1, like the feet of a cat. So, Nikki.
Yes.
You want to talk about Vice magazine and how cool it is.
Yeah, I love Vice magazine. I guess they started as a magazine and then moved to YouTube, and I've pretty much watched everything they've put out. And they did this great series about this artist who traveled across the country hitching rides on trains, and that started me into this like wormhole where, and you'd probably do it too. You watch one of their videos and then you just end up watching the entire playlist.
I worm.
Yeah. And it's great. So yesterday you were talking about it. You said like the owner of Vice was some hipster from Brooklyn, but he's actually, Shane Smith he's from Toronto, which is interesting. But I in my opinion, Vice is like this great news organization, and they are doing really hard-hitting journalism.
Which is interesting because they came out of I was a fan of Vice when it was a magazine only, probably before it was even on the internet. Like it was a print magazine. Oh, probably, I don't know, the year 2000, 2004, something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had a website, but it wasn't very robust. And it was not groundbreaking news. It was basically pictures of cute hipsters at parties, drunk out of their mind, looking completely ridiculous. And then they started doing the occasional news article. It was kind of like news, but it was always extreme news. It was like, you know, they'd interview somebody whose job was, you know, selling crack to school kids, you know, they like go into some really dangerous underworld and interview somebody secretly with a bandana on and, you know, get the story. And then they moved to kind of like actually going to places in the world that were really dangerous, like, you know, the Khyber Pass, and doing kind of extreme news stories from there. And then it just kind of turned into real news, like, you know, going to the Ukraine and, you know, doing boots on the ground, bulletproof vest journalism that no news outlet really does, you know, and doing it and like sneaking into North Korea to do news, man. That's amazing.
Yeah. And they're getting this a side of the story that none of the other news media is getting. And I really think that they're great because they're exposing a lot of tyranny around the world, but they're putting it in this pill that's so easy for liberals to swallow.
Yeah. The guy who owns that magazine is basically libertarian, and the average Vice reader is probably, you know, a liberal. So
definitely. And do you know that one of the directors of the Vice on HBO is Bill Maher. I always say Maher.
Yeah. Who's a liberal who lies and says he's a libertarian. He's not.
Exactly. But when you tell the liberals, hey, there's this great documentary about, I don't know, Iraqi kids getting cancer from the munitions in the ground. And they're like, oh, well, I don't know if I believe it. And then you tell them that Bill Maher directed the documentary. They're like, they're all about it.
Yeah. Or I think he produces them. I don't think he directs them.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I meant produces them.
Yeah. And sometimes at that level, a production credit basically means nothing more than they're being paid to put their name on it. But he probably wouldn't put his, I mean, I'm not saying he has integrity, but he probably wouldn't want to put his name on something that he completely disagreed with.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's basically an endorsement. Yeah, man. Yeah. So more about Vice.
Well, the last story they did was kind of on this whole climate change thing. And I'm not one to really be on, I don't know, the liberal side of the equation, but this was a really interesting, it was an interesting documentary, and it took place in, they went up to Greenland, and Shane Smith went up there, and it was quite interesting to see how dirty the snow is up there. You would never think. But anyway, there's this article that I found. It's an interview with a woman who pays drug addicts to get sterilized. And I was...
Yeah. Yeah. Before we go to that, I do want to weigh in on the climate change thing. Not that the world has been waiting for bated breath for my official opinion on it, but I don't know the answer. And I think it's too complicated to know. And I think that there's a lot of agendas in the science.
Oh,
definitely. I'm not a denier and I'm not convinced either way about human caused climate change. We'll be back with more on Michael Dean After Dark.
This radio show is called Michael Dean After Dark. Go to michaelwdean.com to help keep it drone-proof.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. This is The Freedom Fiends. Michael Dean After Dark with Nikki Darling. So, Nikki.
Yes.
We're talking about crack.
Yes. Well, that is an acronym for an organization called Children Requiring a Caring Community with a K.
They changed the name of it, though. It's now called Project Prevention. It's this lady in Oakland, California that raises money to pay drug addicts to get sterilized and, you know, to get their tubes tied or get a vasectomy. I had a vasectomy and I wasn't a drug addict. I just thought it was a good idea. I did it. But, you know, she's very controversial. And actually, I remember this lady from when I lived in San Francisco because there were articles in the San Francisco Chronicle and the Oakland Tribune about her. Like 20 years ago, she was stirring it up and irking people by engaging them to engage in voluntary interactions. You know, I don't see...
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm not... I'm sure there are right-wing radio hosts who think that drug addicts should be forcefully sterilized and don't see that that has anything to do with Hitler, and it does. But I don't think it should be forcefully sterilized. But I'm fine with this lady raising money to pay street drug addicts to get fixed. Are you?
Yeah, I am, definitely. But I feel like the other side of the argument is people will claim that these women or men are not in control of their minds at the time that they're making the decisions, so therefore they're being preyed upon. But she's actually giving them money. But then the other side of the argument on that is, well, you're just giving them drug money, in essence. But, I mean, $300 doesn't go that far.
No. And a lot of people accuse her of racism. I remember this from 20 years ago when I was reading about her when I lived in the Bay Area. And she was or is married to a black man, and her children are half black, so, and she's white. So I don't think you can really pull the race card on her.
But why would people call her racist? Is it because most people already assume in their head that drug addicts are black?
Because those people who are saying that are must be being racist by assuming that. But
yeah,
it's Oakland. Most people in Oakland are black. So, yeah, I guess. Although I think that this lady, I think she addressed that at one point and said, you know, it doesn't matter what their race is. I'm happy to do it for, you know, white trash, trailer trash. I don't think she said that, but yeah.
Yeah, and then bringing up the, you know, eugenics argument is completely ridiculous. But by the way, I have heard that in California state prisons, there's some sort of forced sterilization program with female drug addicts.
Yeah, yeah. If the state does it, it's okay. And, you know, if a private citizen does it, people think it's not okay. And, you know, the various governments throughout the ages have forcefully sterilized people with or without their knowledge. And, yeah, it's not that unusual.
Yeah, this definitely led me down a wormhole, and I started researching eugenics, and because most people relate eugenics with just the Nazis, but I mean, it was something that was happening in our country before that, even.
Well, Margaret Sanger, who started Planned Parenthood, was firmly in favor of eugenics, and she was racist and basically started Planned Parenthood for minority mothers.
Okay. Now, is that a reason why people to this day still don't like Planned Parenthood, or is there some other reason?
I mean, who do you mean? Like, right-wing people?
Yeah. I mean, there's always someone complaining about
it. I think they don't like it because they don't like abortions.
Ah, okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the last time I went to Planned Parenthood, I called ahead for an appointment, and she said, if there are people outside with signs, just don't talk to them. Just come on in.
Yeah, I got my my vasectomy at Planned Parenthood, and there were protesters out front that I had to walk through, and they yelled at me. Like, hey, man, I'm not killing any babies today. Yeah,
well, not technically, I guess.
I don't know. I mean, you'd have to be pretty extreme in your interpretations of pro-life, I think, to be against someone getting a vasectomy or tying
tubes. I meant you're killing all your little babies.
Well, I mean, don't you do that every time you spill your seed, according to the Bible? I mean, literally, like every, you know, every male, let's call it essence, you know, unit contains like 100 million viable sperm. And if you don't use them, they're reabsorbed into your body too. So, you know, the average, if that's a baby, you know, the average male kills about a few billion children in his life just by existing. I mean, even if you never are with a woman and you never take care of your own needs, I mean, eventually that, I don't want to get, this is radio,
I know.
You know, but eventually at best it's reabsorbed. They're reabsorbed into your body. You know, the living sperm cells, cease to be living. So yeah,
I get it. There's probably a meme behind this.
Yeah. I'm thinking of a lot of, I'm thinking of Woody Allen movies, but yeah. So tell me more about this lady and Vice.
Well, apparently she has a brother-in-law who lives on Skid Row.
Yeah.
And he's pretty brilliant, but he's just very self-destructive.
Yeah, and my reading of this article seems to be that she was a crack user and her kids were born addicted to crack, and then she got clean. Got her kids. Well, kids get clean anyway if they don't take crack. But she says, when I came up with the name of the organization, I basically just sat down and took the drug that my children were born addicted to. I don't think she meant she took the drug. I think she meant she considered the name of the drug, because the organization's called CRACK, C-R-A-C-K. I took the drug that my children were born addicted to and tried to come up with an acronym for it. Now, I don't know how children of a woman can be born addicted to a drug unless the mother's on it.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, they could be born addicted to it if the father's not on it, but, you know, that's how children are born addicted to a drug, is the mother is on it. So, yeah, I'm in favor of what this lady's doing, and I'm not surprised that people are adamantly against her like this, you know? It'd be quite a burden to live under, although, you know, you and I live under some burden of attracting idiots because we're libertarian and don't believe that that governments should force people to do things all day long, and that and we don't believe that if 51% of the idiots in the world agree on something that the other 49% should have to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the democracy argument, and I've tried to explain this to family members before, and they just don't get it either. They don't know math, or they just love democracy like they love their mother.
Well, you're taught from a very young age in this country that democracy is sacred. And, you know, to the point where that was like the hardest thing for me to get rid of. It was really easy for me to say there should be less government. But to actually understand that democracy is not a good thing and it means that people are preying on other people was really hard for me. And it's really hard to explain that to people. It's almost like condemning someone's God, because it is a lot of people's God, you know, democracy. Like my dad, he says that. He says democracy is the greatest form of government, and we're blessed to live under this democracy. And then he complains all day long about Barack Obama, as he should, and doesn't see that that's the result of democracy. You know?
Yeah, I didn't know anything about democracy until I finally met some people within the liberty community. Like, when was this? Like 4 years ago? Like, I didn't know what the democratic system was. I never thought about it. I didn't know the logistics of it. And now I feel I'm way more educated than I ever was just from knowing the people that I know. And when it comes down to it, I feel like the people I know now, the people that I used to hang out with, and I don't really any longer, they only believe that they have two choices in life. Everything is about two choices. And I just like to talk to family members and just say, well, what if there were other choices? Yeah. And they just, it's like their head explodes when you say that. It's like either tyranny or democracy, red pill, blue pill, Republican, yeah. Democrat.
Yeah. It's, and it's not just America where it's like that. I mean, in Europe, it's, you know, the conservative, in England, it's the Conservative Party or the Labor Party. I mean, in Canada has their equivalent, you know, North Korea probably has their equivalent, although no, they're a one state they're a one state country, but they do have elections. And basically you get to choose between, you know, two people in the same party with an identical platform. But the easiest way I've found to explain it, and these are not things I made up, but they're so good I can't come up with something better. One is that democracy is 51% of the people tyrannizing 49% of the people. And the even more succinct version is democracy is two wolves and a sheep deciding what to have for lunch.
Yeah, I said that to my father once, though, and he goes, well, what if the vote's like 75% voting
so
for
it's
the...
So well, it's three wolves and a sheep deciding what to have for lunch.
And I'm like, "What? Okay, let's get out a calculator then. But still, there's going to be somebody left behind who doesn't get what they want.
Yeah, I don't like the and a sheep because, you know, that may... How about three wolves and a cat deciding what to have for lunch? Although I guess, you know, anybody who believes in voting is it, and anyone who believes voting is the ultimate way to organize society. I don't want to say they're a sheep, but I do want to say that they probably either haven't been exposed to ideas of why that doesn't make sense, or they're a sheep if they've been exposed to it and defended democracy like their mother. You know, I wonder if anybody's tuning in and just thinking like, I heard these people condemning democracy. I think they must have been communists.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
We're not. I hate communism.
Yeah.
Hate it.
Yeah. And I try to, like, over the weekend, I tried to explain to my family, like, they're like, well, but if you're not a Democrat, then what are you? You're a Republican. I'm like, no. They're, oh my goodness. I mean, they it's like there's nothing else.
I'm amazed how binary most people's thoughts are.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think my cousin said something about CNN, and I said, oh, I don't really watch the news. She goes, what do you watch, Fox News? I'm like, is that the only other option?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that believe that sort of thing.
Well,
Alex Jones has been doing some really good work recently exposing Glenn Beck as the just tyrant that he is. Have you seen any of that?
No, I had no idea.
We'll talk more about families and how they confound us when we get back from this trip to the free market on Michael Dean After Dark, soon to be the Freedom Fiends.
You are destined to be listening to this show, Michael Dean After Dark, on this very night. Thank you for arriving. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Michael Dean After Dark, and we're talking about families. I'm a big fan of the show Death Clock, and the character Squiscar. I don't hate my family, but there's a scene where he's just dealing with his family, and they're being horrible, and he says, and he's Swedish, and he says, families is the peoples that you hate. And I say that often jokingly to my wife when we're watching TV and there's, you know, some fictional show and the people are being horrible to each other and their families. But I think it's more like families are the people of a different species that you have to interact with that don't understand, that don't want to understand your mind and still look at you as a child. I'm 50. And my sisters still look at me like I'm their little 8-year-old brother. They really do. And they treat me that way. And they try to talk to me that way, which is a large part of the reason I don't, not always, but, you know, in some things. And that's a large part of the reason I don't really go out of my way to talk to them, even though I love them.
Yeah. But I mean, have they ever told you to go move to the jungles of Africa?
I'm really blessed or lucky, or I guess my strategy has worked of like, I've moved across. I don't live near my family and they don't pop in. My dad came to visit last year for about 4 days, and it's the first time he's ever visited me as an adult, which actually was like, I was kind of insulted that he never has. Like, he visits all three of my siblings all the time, several times a year. And yeah, I've always lived a little further away, but there's a thing called an airplane. You can sit on it for 5 hours or you can sit on it for 3 hours. It's not that much of a big deal difference.
Yeah.
And yeah, but they don't talk to me about politics, man, because when they do, I get really adamant, and they're not very knowledgeable either. And
yeah.
And they really don't know how to argue with me because they're Democrats and they're Obama lickers, and I'm not a Republican, and I will tell them why I hate Romney as much as I hate Obama. And they just, it's less like their head explodes and more like it doesn't compute, and they've got better things to do than try to talk to me about it and get schooled.
Yeah, well, my dad told me the other day that I should just go live in the jungles of Africa with the anarchists, because that's exactly what I want. Because I called him when he was in Atlantic City.
Wait, what particular jungles in Africa, and what part of Africa is he speaking of?
Or
is
he's that- not speaking of Somalia, because he doesn't know that joke.
Yeah.
But I think he just assumes that.
I mean, that
Africa
sounds like something that like my dad would have said to somebody 55 years ago.
Yeah, it's really kind of oldie, isn't it?
It is very old sounding. Yeah. Why don't you go live in the jungles of Africa with the anarchists?
That's exactly what he said. I was shocked. And it was because I asked him how much taxes he had to pay on his winnings from Atlantic City. And instead of answering me, he just said, well, if you don't like it here, why don't you go move to the jungles of Africa with the anarchists and get shot at? And it was because he thought that I was going to like rage on him about paying taxes, but I wasn't. I was just curious. But then I went into like, oh, Dad, you know that you work 3 or 4 months a year just to pay the IRS. And he said, well, that's just the way it is. And I went into explaining to him like, well, doesn't that technically make you a slave? Because if you don't pay them, they put you in jail. And he said, yes, but I do it so they don't put me in jail. And then eventually the conversation led to him being like, he gets very dramatic and he said, why don't you just go shoot everybody and form your own utopia?
Oh, man.
And then I got mad at him about that. And I said, do you ever really think I would do that? And he said, no. And I said, so why did you say that? And he said, I don't know. I'm sorry.
You know, I think that a lot of people who pepper their conversations with logical fallacies like that, like, you know, taking it to, I don't even know the name of that logical fallacy, but it is one. I guess I'd call it taking it to apocalypse, you know, like taking things to the worst
extremes.
Case scenario. Yeah, which is also kind of a red herring straw man argument, because it's basically saying, well, you just want to shoot everyone, and I can argue against that, you know.
And
but
that's my
I
dad.
Think they're just imitating other people that they've heard argue. I don't think they really know what they're doing. And we'll be back with more about families is to peoples that you hate in hour two of this soon. After dark.
Go to michaelwdean.com. That's michaelwdean.com.
Good evening, my fellow
worms. I know some things.
I'll be back with more later on.
I'm never satisfied.
This is Michael Dean After Dark.
The stato sperimentato.
We have enough
on
the United States government presents
no vision. Congrats.
Not having enough money.
The power was so great.
Esto por su parte considera
to provide guidance to mankind.
Go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark.
Bye for now.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it.
Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of Michael Dean After Dark. And I am here with Nikki Darling, and I am stacking mad name coin. I'm buying and selling like a boss on one of those exchanges.
You're stacking virtual coins. How does that work?
I'm stacking mad Bitcoin, man. I got all the name coin. I don't know how it works, but I've got some. I'm selling some. I'm buying some others. Yeah, I don't know. How does that work? What is that? So we were talking about families. Families is the peoples that you hate. And
that needs to be a meme.
Yeah, I think it already is, because it's a saying on Death Clock, on Metal Apocalypse, or whatever it's called. And you said something really funny. You were talking about how the president is doing horrible things. During the break, you said something about it, and you you called him President Bush, and I was like, it's the other guy.
Yeah, it was just a mind derp.
You're post-racial. You know who else did that once to me is Nima Vedati. He corrected him, and he's like, I don't know, man. Yeah, I know. I can't tell those guys apart.
Yeah, exactly.
Which sounds like crazy talk to the families that we're talking about, to the people who are brought up in the government schools and buy the lie. You know, someone actually criticized me today, like was looking for an ad hominem way to try to destroy me. And it came off more like a gnat that I just flicked away and blocked. Because I don't stay out and argue like you do with these people. You like to
I don't really argue, but maybe you just have better self-esteem than I do.
Well, or maybe I'm older and I've been doing it longer, and I realize that your self-esteem isn't served by arguing with idiots on the internet, because they are like playing, it is like playing chess with a pigeon, where they'll knock all the pieces over, crap on the board, and then flap their wings and squawk and say they've won, even when and somebody like found you know, like went looking for troll bait to yell at me about, and they found my interview on School Sucks podcast and posted it and said, is this you, man? You really hate education and you're really stupid. Like, you know, and this is something we're going to talk about later, is about people on the internet judging the title of something without looking at the content of it. Cause who's got time these days to look at the content of it? And who is in the fury of an argument and misspelling words, you know, knows how to, wants to take, you know, an hour and 45 minutes to really get to know their opponent. I would, I'm that patient and devious that I would, but, yeah. And it's like School Sucks podcast. First of all, it's not my podcast, but I stand by every word I did on the interview on there. And people instantly assume that if you say school sucks, that you think education sucks and you want to be stupid. And that podcast is not about that. And I'm not about that. And it's all about finding alternative ways to educate yourself other than sitting in the one size fits all stupatorium of a public school, you know?
Exactly. I really love that podcast. I think Brett is brilliant. And I did listen to your episode when you talked about schooling.
Yeah, yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, I made a typo today that was kind of funny. I was Ian Freeman did something really nice for me, and he sent me an email about it. And I looked at it, and I was like, oh, cool. And I wrote back, I said, shucks, thanks, man. And I mistyped, and I put, sucks, thanks, man. And he wrote back, like, what? I'm trying to do you a favor here. And, like, I can see how that would come across that way, but no.
Well, with Ian, he doesn't ever get angry.
Oh, I know.
So, yeah. So I'm just imagining in my head being like, what, man?
I know, which is kind of the one of the interesting dynamics that I really like about Free Talk Live is that Mark will get really angry and like yell. And I've talked to both of them about this. Like, I love that show, but sometimes Mark gets really, really loud and Ian is just the Zen master going, what? I don't understand. And it just kind of like Mark just kind of reminds me of like a screechy old woman or something.
Oh, I love it when Mark gets amped up. He's hilarious. And he's like allergic to like caffeine. So
is he?
If he had, well, he says that it affects him tremendously. So if he even has a little bit, and that episode when I think he had like a cup of coffee or something was hilarious.
They endorse coffee.
Oh yeah, definitely. But he drinks the decaf version.
If somebody, you know what I should find as an advertiser is somebody that makes the strongest coffee out there. Cause the pitch I do for it is, you know, something to the effect of like, normal coffee doesn't affect me. I can drink a pot of it and go to sleep, but this coffee wakes me up. You know,
yeah.
I'm the opposite of not affected by. I'm barely affected by coffee. I'm pretty hooked on coffee. I would say I probably have a tolerance to the point where like I have to make coffee the night before, so it's there for me in the morning, even though it's cold, because mm-hmm. it's quicker for me to zap it in the microwave. And I need the caffeine to the point where I don't care that it's been sitting there for 8 hours. I need to get it in me as quickly as possible when I get up. Like if I have to even turn on the coffee pot, even if I put the coffee in it and it's waiting there for me, you know, then I have to wait like 3 or 4 minutes. I'm just going, ugh. And the worst is if I forget to make coffee and I have to actually find a paper filter and put it in the little basket and pour coffee in it. It's excruciating. It's,
World problem.
It really is. It really is. Thank you. Thank you for that clarification.
You're welcome.
Yes. A first world problem for consuming a drug from the third world. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm highly addicted to it too, so I understand.
Do you know what the terms first world and third world mean and what they originally meant? I mean, you know what they mean now. First world means like you have electricity and running water and internets and Facebook and... Third world means you're, you know, living in a ditch pushing berries up your nose.
Yeah, exactly. But what is there some?
Well, originally,
past?
Yeah, originally there was first world. You ever heard second world?
No, never.
Yeah.
I mean, I figured it existed, but I didn't know. I don't know what
well,
it means.
Well, first world is the term comes from the Cold War, and first world is countries that have democracy. Second world is countries that have communism. And third world is countries that really don't have much other than a tribal structure.
Yeah, I was thinking like second world, bad Russian cars for some reason.
Yeah, so. Like they have factories, but they don't have the level of, you know, the high level of living that they do in democratic countries. And third world, but basically it's a really strange delineation because it basically says democracy is the best and communism is the second best. Like communism is better than, you know, living free and raising your own food and, you know, not having pestilence and wars.
Oh, we are not trusted to actually take care of ourselves.
Who? You and me?
No, just like the people. The citizens.
I know. And, you know, I really wonder, of all the politicians in the world, I would really like to be able to scan their brains and find out how many of them really, really, really believe in their heart of hearts that they're serving mankind, and how many of them really just are laughing, going, I'm the Lord and Master, and people are paid to steal from me and give it to me, and I get to decree what's right.
It's probably like 50-50, but the 50% that think they're actually doing good, they really just need to go like adopt some kids and like tell them what to do all day because that's what they want to do. And then the other half are just narcissists who just want to look in the mirror all day and boss people around.
I'm reminded of there's a Pink Floyd song, The Fletcher Memorial Home. It's on the album The Final Cut, which is the last real Pink Floyd album before they all split up and went their separate ways. But it's a great song. It's about the fact that there needs to be an old folks home for retired tyrants and kings. And it says they could appear to themselves every day on closed circuit TV to make sure they're still real. It's the only thing left they still feel. They could polish their medals and polish their smiles and amuse themselves playing games for a while. Boom, boom, bang, bang, lie down, you're dead.
Very nice.
It's deep, man. Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
Deep. Yeah, poetry.
I've loved Pink Floyd since I was like 12, and that's unusual for a 12-year-old.
I know. I don't know, though. It's they're pretty tasty music, man. They pretty much really, they were, in a way, the first thing that really spoke to me and said, you're being lied to. You know, I mean, I listened to the Beatles, and I listened to a little bit of the Rolling Stones that, like, my sister had left a record in the attic when she went to college. But Pink Floyd was the first thing that was, like, my music. I found it. I didn't inherit it from my siblings. And every lyric was meaningful to me, and every lyric was about, you know, think about like the whole album Dark Side of the Moon, like taking away the moments that make up a dull day. I felt like I was doing that. Fritter and waste the hours in an offhand way. Kicking around on a piece of ground in your hometown, looking for someone or something to take you away. I mean, that was me at 14. It really, you know, it's when you read it, it's great lyrics. It's not great poetry. There's a difference. Like, you know, when you recite that out loud, it sounds kind of dumb. But in the context of the music, it's amazing. It really did speak to me, Nikki.
Yeah, I mean, when I was really young, I mean, when was that? Like the 90s, we were expected to listen to the pop music, but my dad totally introduced me to like good classic rock. And my first concert when I was 14 was the Rolling Stones, and we were in the fourth row. Yeah, at RFK Stadium. I'll never forget that. It was really interesting. So my dad, he taught me to play guitar. He taught me about good music, but he's still a statist.
Yeah, it's also amazing to me the cool things people can be into without getting how the world really works. You know, I mean,
yeah, without taking that final step.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know what Roger Waters' politics are. I think he's actually kind of conservative, you know, and I don't know if he's really considered that you don't have to be one or the other, conservative or liberal. But I know he got really upset when England outlawed some form of hunting. It might have even been fox hunting, which is kind of brutal. But, you know, I guess that would make him a conservative. But one really interesting thing of him that makes him not like a conservative or a liberal in America is he's been adamantly for decades pro-Palestine and anti whatever Israel's doing to Palestine, which is not a popular choice. And
not
it's
at all.
It's always kind of been my choice. I mean, it's not an anti-Semitic thing, and you have to say that whenever you talk about it. And I have lots of friends that are Jewish, and my daughter's Jewish, and my late daughter was Jewish. But you know, what Israel's doing to Palestine is really horrible, and it's you can't speak out about that and be in the music industry, and he does, and he has been for years.
Well, he's Roger Waters.
He can do what he wants. He's too rich and old.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and yes, we're broadcasting this message into space.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Yeah, this is Michael Dean. You're listening to the Freedom Fiends. I'm hanging out with my friend Nikki Darling, and we're just wagging the dog, man. That sounds dirty, but it's not. It's the name of a movie, Wag the Dog. It's an amazing movie that we were just talking about in the break. It's a black comedy written by David Mamet, who's one of the only conservatives still working in Hollywood who hasn't been driven out. And it stars Dustin Hoffman, Robert De Niro, Anne Heche, Dennis Leary, William H. Macy, and Willie Nelson, who Nikki's dad likes a lot.
Yeah, he does. He likes a lot of old country.
Old country's good, man. I like it a lot. You know, we're on one station in Wyoming that the Freedom Fiends weekend show is on a station in Wyoming that is a country music station, and we're like the only talk show on it. It's us, and then the morning they have the guy who goes in the studio to do it. It's pretty cool.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is neat.
Yeah, they play Freedom Fiends, country and western, and NASCAR and rodeo.
Ah, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, families. Tell me more about families in general and the frustration, the beat your head against the wall because people you love don't understand your brain.
Well, I think it's something that I struggle with a lot, and I wish that I could overcome struggling with it. Just the trying to be my absolute self around these people and not have to fake anything, which
these
is what
people.
It's normally what I have to do, though. I have to keep quiet. I have to resist. I have to sit on my hands. That sort of. I mean, not because I'm going to hurt anybody, but just no. I talk with my hands. Yeah. I'm very animated.
Are you Italian?
No, Greek.
Oh, oh. So. Do Greeks talk with their hands?
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. Can I ask that? Is that racist or something?
No, no. I just, you know, I was.
Well,
adopted,
it would be
right,
racist so. If there were more Greeks. You know, it's like there's not enough of them listening probably to get mad.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I don't know. I don't even look back on my
so
past.
So you don't – do you know your lineage or is your parents are Greek?
My dad was Greek. My mom was Russian and German.
Ooh.
Yeah, interesting mix. So
Russian and German, is she constantly at war with herself?
Well, this is my biological parents.
Oh, now, have you met them?
Well, I lived with my biological mother till I was 7, and then I was stolen from her by the state.
Huh. Maybe you should track her down and talk to her. Maybe she would understand your mind more.
She died right before 2000, right before 9/11.
Hmm.
Yeah.
How about your dad?
I think he's in and out of trouble with the law, so I don't really want to find him.
Papa was a Rolling Stone.
yeah, he likes credit cards.
Oh, man, those are dangerous even if they're yours. I don't have any. We have debit cards. Got rid of the credit cards.
Yep. Yeah, none for me either. I definitely will never go back to them.
Yeah, although, you know, the government has been, the Department of Justice of Injustice has been doing this thing called Project Choke Point. Do you know about this?
No, but it sounds, that doesn't even sound real.
It's real. Yeah, it sounds like a sex game or something. It's it was originally designed to stop people from committing fraud. Like basically, you know, if someone was engaging in a fraudulent business, they would close down their bank account, which really cripples your ability to do any kind of business. And then they expanded it to like stuff the government didn't like. Like they've been closing the bank accounts of like sex workers, porn mm-hmm. stars, gun dealers, precious metal dealers, you know, payday loan services, like totally legal licensed businesses that they just don't like.
Yeah. But I mean, do they have any sort of warrant or judge backing them
no,
up?
No, man. No. They just call the bank and say, this is necessary for national security, and the bank risks losing their banking. You know, I mean, it's somebody said it recently. It's really true. Like banks aren't really private industries. They're basically franchises of the Federal Reserve. So they don't have a choice.
Yeah. And so are credit unions too. But a lot of people will go use those instead.
Yeah. Which is why Bitcoin is a big threat to all that.
Yes, and soon we will have to declare it. Well, I mean, I won't, but...
I don't have any Bitcoin. I lost it in a boating accident.
I lost mine in Vietnam, so...
I literally lost 3 Bitcoin. You know that story, right?
Yeah, it's terrible.
I lost my password and could not get it back. And I spent probably 40 hours over a period of weeks typing in what I thought it might be to the point where... And this was... This was when Bitcoin was worth like $100 each instead of like $500 each. Mm-hmm. And I finally just shredded the files, so I couldn't keep trying because I'd already spent more than $300 worth of pain and suffering trying to remember, try to type this in, man. So yeah. Can I write that off? Can I deduct that? It's a loss. Probably not. All right, we'll be back. Freedom Fiends, yo.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yeah, uh-huh. Freedom Fiends. Is it bad radio to say I like it better when the phone doesn't ring?
No.
It's my show. Yeah. I don't know. I like talking to the world in one direction. I like talking in two directions sometimes, too. But it's like, you know, it just kind of breaks my train of thought. And I want to talk about your family experiences, Nikki.
Well, what would you like to know?
Tell me some more like insane arguments you've had, not necessarily with family, but with like people you know, people that are close to you, people that you love and care about, where they just think you're a loon because you don't think that government should be murdering people and stealing their money.
Well, I've stopped saying that taxation is theft around my family because it just really does blow their mind. So I've had arguments about that, of course, because the counter argument is always like, you have to pay your fair share. And it's like, why? I'm that kid who's like, why, Dad? Why?
What did you say during the break about why you what you thought happened early in your life to make you a counter-authoritarian?
Well, when I was in kindergarten, a cop came into my kindergarten class and I was called up to the room and I left with the cop. I was put in the back of the cop car and I never went back to that class ever again. And it was because CPS had called the police to come get me out of class. And wow. Then I went right to a foster home.
Were you better off in the foster home?
No. I mean, not like the foster home. They weren't doing anything to me. They just really weren't cool people. And I was confused. I didn't know why I was there. I was 7, which is kind of old, but that lasted for about 2 years before I was adopted.
You sent me something about somebody who's a big wig at National Institute of Health. Can you talk about that?
I'd rather not.
Okay.
But I will say that, you know, you grow up in this area. 70% of your family is either going to be married to somebody who works for the government or they're going to be working for the government in some form, contractor or federal employee. And it's just there's no escaping that. And this area is built on government money. If the government dissolved tomorrow, the D.C. would become Detroit.
Yeah. I have an interesting story about personal story about being in the National Institute of Health.
The building in Bethesda?
Yeah. When I was 19 and living in D.C. and homeless, a homeless punk rocker who had a job for part of that time. I was like homeless and had a job where I had to wear a tie. And I would like wake up in this abandoned factory and put my tie on in the rearview mirror of a car and then go work in this place called Naturally Yours in Georgetown. And it's not still there. It was on Prospect and Wisconsin Avenue.
Okay, I know where that's at.
But they still have the other one, which they had then, which is off DuPont Circle. And okay. I worked there. And before or after I had that job, I don't remember which, but I did paid medical research at the National Institute of Health. They had me come in and spend a week there. Mm-hmm. And they gave me experimental drugs. And they I was a guinea pig. You know, they took my blood, weighed me, had me run on a treadmill, things like that. Now, the drug I was taking was called anti-steroids. I've never heard of it since. And I've talked to doctors and asked them.
I don't understand. I mean, wouldn't you have to be on steroids and then take anti-steroids?
I don't know. I'm assuming that it's something that does the opposite of steroids. And, you know, not all when people hear steroids, they usually think muscle men. And that's not the only kind of steroids. You know, the steroids are used for anti-inflammatory. But I don't know. Maybe I got the placebo. I don't know. But, yeah, I was in there for about, almost 2 weeks and made about $300 for risking my life for the government. But the really weird thing is while I was in there, I brought one book with me and it was Stranger in a Strange Land, which is about someone from another planet. It's a Heinlein book, libertarian weirdo book about someone who is like captured by the government and put in the National Institute of Health forcefully to study them.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, did you do that because you just needed money?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm glad I've never done that.
Hey, man.
Do you even know the name of the medicine, though, just in case one? Uh-oh.
Nope. They just called it anti-steroids.
Well, I mean, I feel like they should be telling you the name of what they're giving you in case you, I don't know, have like a blood clot one day or something.
And you can say, I took experimental drug 346X 30 years ago at the government. Yeah. And they'll call the government and they'll be like, we don't know what that is. Never heard of it. Never heard of it.
Cover that right up. You're going to need Dr. House then.
I know. It does seem like something Dr. House would use or recommend or be afraid of.
Yeah.
Oh, you haven't got to the part yet where he's taking, stealing experimental pain drugs and taking them, have you?
No. I've just started season 3.
Yeah, that's a really amazing show. I've been meaning to talk about it on a show. I don't want to do any spoiler alerts, but we could talk about it up to the part you've seen.
Oh, it's a fantastic show. I'm really glad you recommended it. And yeah, he is a lot like Sherlock Holmes.
Even his address is, 1311 Baker Street or whatever Holmes was. And, Holmes only had one friend, Watson, House only has one friend, Wilson, House, Holmes, both five letter H words, H-O-L-M-S-H-O-U-S-E. Yeah, they're both drug addicts. They're both brilliant at deducing things and have strange methods to do so, but are more successful than other people.
Yeah, but Wilson's kind of like his voice of reason.
Yeah, and Moriarty was his voice of reason, was Holmes's.
No, Moriarty was his enemy.
Oh, yeah. But the guy who shoots House is named Moriarty.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
They just show it briefly on a chart or something somewhere.
Ah, that's pretty brilliant.
Yeah, they don't even hide it. It's all out there.
I'll have to look for that again. But I really feel I like House because I feel like I can relate to him, how he is such an individualist and he isolates himself. And I'm not saying that that's a good thing, but in a way, I go through life feeling like I just don't fit anywhere and I just keep to myself.
Yeah, that's something I pretty much universally felt my whole life. And I'm really, for the first time in my life, probably the last 5 years, since shortly after I got married and basically since we moved to Wyoming, is the first time in my life I've like universally felt at home in my own skin, really, in this world.
Nice.
You know, I was talking to Davi Barker last night where he said that he has never felt at place on this planet. And he describes himself as a pre-op extraterrestrial.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Whereas I don't know how serious he is about that description, but he jokingly says at least that he feels like a different species or from a different planet. And I basically feel like I'm the same species as every human around me, but I'm on the wrong planet. I was supposed to be on the planet where people don't tell you what to do and make you do things that are stupid.
Yeah. And that's why I believe in string theory. Like there's all these other dimensions going on and I just accidentally walked through one of the wormholes by accident. Yeah. I should be somewhere else.
Yeah, which is, I've had this fantasy since I was a really little kid of aliens coming to the Earth and saving me and my friends from all the stupidity, which is a really stupid great man theory. It's almost as dumb as thinking you can vote the right person in, and probably about as likely. But they say that the nearest habitable planet is in the Alpha Centauri region, 4.5 light years away, and radio travels at the same speed as light. So I've always wanted to be on radio because I've thought that if my thoughts could get to the intelligent life planet, they might hear it and go, oh, we've been listening to this planet for 50 years, but finally there's intelligent life, the Freedom Fiends. We're going to go down and save those guys and help them out.
Yeah, but if you watch Stargate like I do, you'll know that all the aliens feel superior to us, pretty much. And they are.
Yeah.
In that TV show.
I think Garrett Fox is a big fan of that show.
Oh, yeah. I bet at Porkfest we're going to sit around and talk about all that nerd stuff.
Yeah. So back to families is the peoples that you hate. Tell me some more experiences with not just family. I don't want to like put you on the pin about your family, but just in general about people you know and care about. What kind of discussions have you had with them about your politics or lack thereof?
Well, on Saturday, I told a cousin that I just don't vote anymore. And then his wife looked at me and said, but don't you want to be part of the process? And I said, what process? It's red or blue. That's it. I want more choices. And we talked a lot about politics on Saturday, and I at one point, she was saying something great about Obama, and I said, and then her husband said, but Bush was worse. And I said, you do know that technically Obama has drone missile bombed more people than Bush. And I think in a way they thought that I was,
defending
that,
Bush.
Yeah. Defending Bush. And I, and then I said, no, he blank also.
Yeah. Yeah, they're both horrible, man. They're and you know, I really when the point I really absolutely lost my faith in the process was you know, I was kind of headed there anyway. I kind of realized, like, you know, even Ron Paul, who's the Liberty guy, you know, even if he won, like, you're still being told what to do. You know, you still didn't sign that Constitution. You were born into it, and it basically is written to set up the giant federal government we have now, except for the, you know, the 10 commandments, the 10 amendments, which are generally ignored anyway. And they have wording in them that says shall not be infringed. And then politicians infringe them anyway. So they don't pay attention to it. But, you know, I was kind of like, well, maybe Ron Paul, but then like even before the election, the last time he ran, the last presidential election, like when I saw what the Republican Party was doing to make damn sure Ron Paul didn't have a chance, yeah, and no one like him ever had a chance again, I was like, okay, this is over. Put a fork in it. America's done.
Yeah, exactly. And I brought that up to my dad when he said, well, why don't you get involved and try to change things? And I said, well, Ron Paul tried to do just that, and look what happened. He didn't believe me.
He didn't believe what?
That the Republican Party actually tried to write him off the ballot at the convention in
they
Florida.
Did. There's video of it. There's video of it. There's also video that a friend of mine shot in Wyoming who was a GOP delegate in favor of Ron Paul, but he didn't become a GOP delegate because of Ron Paul like some people did, like Nima did two elections ago. This was a guy who'd been a Wyoming Republican for, you know, decades and just happened to be back in Ron Paul this time. But he videotaped, and I did an interview with him about it, like blatant, somewhere between electoral fraud and, you know, violation of GOP bylaws. I mean, it was blatant. They made sure he couldn't get on the bill.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
You are destined to be listening to this show, Michael Dean After Dark, on this very night. Thank you for arriving.
Yeah. We are at the last part of the show on Freedom Fiends After Dark with Michael Dean and Nikki Darling. And I've been watching this show called Nikita. You ever seen it, Nikki Darling?
I have not.
It's a show from a few years back. It's it was on the CW. It had three seasons. It's kind of a really dumb shoot 'em up, femme fatale, you know, extremely militarily trained woman, sexy woman with a gun running around having adventures and shooting bad people. But the interesting thing is, because I actually like that kind of TV, which is kind of square, but generally that kind of show, the heroes are cops or the heroes are, you know, government employees. And this one's kind of unique because the government is the enemy in this. And basically, okay, the premise of it, and this is not a you know, deal breaker or what's the word?
deal breaker?
No, spoiler. It's not a spoiler.
Oh, spoiler.
I always call them deal breakers. But this is not really, I mean, this is like, if you watch the show, like this premise is in the introduction of each show. So it's basically there's this like black ops squad that's like even more secret than the CIA and less accountable, and they take kids that are arrested in crimes and do a mock trial and sentence them to death and have a fake execution and then have a gravestone for them, but they're not really dead, and they capture them and put them in this elite training assassins squad. And this woman Nikita was one of them, and she was like the top one, and she broke out, and now she's at war with that organization.
Huh. It sounds sort of like this new BBC show called Orphaned Black. Which you'd like also.
Tell me about it.
A woman finds out that there are multiple twins that, and they're all, or not twins, but, you know, multiple sisters that all look like her. I guess twins are just two, and they're all DNA identical. Ooh. And it was some sort of elite government program, and it's quite an interesting premise for a show. I can send you the link for it sometime.
Yeah, please do. I'm actually looking at it right now. So you don't need to, because I have the interwebs.
Ah,
I can search that, and so can our listeners. So tell me about this this upcoming banning of the thing that we love. Vaping. You were vaping during the break, and you didn't know I was listening. I came back and put the headphones on, and I heard you go like, I was like, yeah, Nikki.
My vape is so good tonight.
what is it?
Black honey tobacco.
From where?
So tasty. I made it myself. Ooh. So it's from Wizard Labs.
You know, I went and looked at priced bulk nicotine after you gave the lesson last week, and everybody sold out of everything.
Oh, no.
In large quantities, yeah.
I was just going to go buy some because now everybody's in panic mode because of what the FDA
it's like
did.
When they're going to, you know, like Obama. They say that the only sector of the economy Obama's actually stimulated is firearm sales. And apparently the Democrat senators are doing the same thing for vape because people are stocking up.
Yeah, they really just want to protect us from this for some reason. It's irritating me. But anyway, the FDA wants to regulate e-cigarettes to the point where every vendor who produces, like innovates new things for the vaping community would actually have to file, I don't know what they call it with the FDA, but you pay a ton of money, you file your product.
For like each flavor, right?
Even, flavors for each individual nicotine measurement, for the devices, even for the drip tips, the wicks you use, everything. And it encompasses so many different people, people who don't even vape, people who just machine these metal atomizers
tubes,
or stuff like that. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It will make it so that all the small businesses will go out of business. The only guys that will be in the business will be like Marlboro and Laura Lar.
I think those people are driving this. I think that the tobacco companies are losing money because there's been innovation.
Yep.
And, you know, it's kind of like if the buggy whip manufacturers had tried to sue the car manufacturers because they don't like progress. And, you know, the one thing I'll say, the final thing of all this is that I see an upside, which is that the more things that people love, the government bans or heavily regulates, the more people are just going to turn against the government and not look at it like their federal family. And that's a great thing.
Yep.
Thanks, Nikki Darling. It's been good having you on.
Thank you.
Go to NikkiDarlingArt.com for Nikki Darling's art. NikkiDarlingArt.com.
Michael Dean After Dark. I hope we've helped calm the hamster in your brain and left you in a better place than where we found you. We'll be here 5 nights a week, same time and channel. In the meantime, go to MichaelWDean.com for more. That's MichaelWDean.com. Thank you and have a wonderful evening. Good night.